Spray paint your car windows and get yourself home before dawn so you can listen to this, a special Patreon exclusive episode of the Uncut Gems podcast. And my name is Randy.
My name is Jakob.
And I'm Hillary.
Awesome. Oh, save me having to introduce you. We're very happy to have Hillary White, a returning guest in the house. Thank you for being here, Hillary. How are you doing?
Oh, so far so good.
Awesome. Okay. So, welcome, everyone. I want to thank everyone who's listening. It is February 2024, and today we are making our second entry into our 2024 Catherine Bigelow Career Marathon project. But before we get to that, I guess we'll do a quick shout out to those of you who are listening and supporting us on Patreon. Again, thank you very, very much. At the end of the day, Jakob and I are just a couple of dads who get together on the weekends and chat about films. Even when the films are terrible, we try to have a conversation where we at least
airports.
And we've done it a lot recently. Even when the films are terrible, if nothing else, we try to diagnose the movie industry and find out what led to the garbage that we just watched. So we always get a good conversation out of it. So we're aware that we're mildly ridiculous, but we love it. So we want to thank you, those of you out there who support us and see something in us, because, you know, sometimes I think personally we're just rambling, but, you know, there are people out there who give us the time of day and it means a lot to us. It really does. Thank you. So to quickly showcase our wares on our Patreon, in 2022, we comprehensively went through David Lynch's films. So there's a full David Lynch marathon there. In 2023, we did the same thing for John Cassavetes, and Hillary joined us for some of the Cassavetes marathon. So 2024, Miss Catherine Bigelow, it's your turn. So as I mentioned, we're continuing our Catherine Bigelow marathon today. And in 2024, we're going to discuss all of her films, the bigs and the lows. And we're going to get into that in a second. I also want to remind people that over on our main show, which you can find wherever you get your quality podcasts, our February theme has been 1970s Terror in the Skies, and we have been talking about airbound disaster films of the 70s, there were some disasters among them, I will say, but at any rate, if you did happen to tune in to our Patreon earlier this month, you would have heard our extensive conversation on the 1970 film Airport. Because on the main show, we followed up by talking about all the sequels. And actually, on Jakob's website, flashonfilm.com, I wrote a piece, Jakob wrote a piece. So we had a crap ton to say about disaster films in the 70s. So there's a lot of literature and listening on the topic of 1970s disaster films. So feel free to go check that out if you so wish. Also, we began earlier this month, our year-long artist profile, which is a project that's split between our main show and our Patreon. We are talking all of 2024 about Spike Lee. So here on Patreon, we are talking about his more acclaimed, his better known films. And we began that series on the main show and Patreon, as I said, this month with on Patreon, we talked about his second film, School Days, and on the main show, the first Friday of February, we started our Spike Lee talking joints, talking about She's Gotta Have It, which for some reason was a title that was hard to come to me in the last episode that we talked about Spike Lee. Anyway, next week, watch for it. We're releasing our second Spike Lee Patreon episode, and that's Do the Right Thing. So watch for that. And just one last reminder here in my notes, okay? If you're listening to this on the main show, recall that this audio will trail away after 15 minutes, but don't worry, you can catch the rest of the episode at our Patreon, which is at www.patreon.com/uncutgemspod. So sign up, find this recording there in its entirety, plus another 85 episodes or so. So there's a lot of stuff for you to go through. We're happy and proud of that content. So if you want to check it out, you can sign up for a 7-day free trial, no commitments. And there are even some free episodes out there if you want to go seek them out.
A lot of emotional content.
A lot of emotional content. So
shout out to one of our two Bruce Lee conversations. Two more than I ever thought I would ever have.
Yeah, there's a lot of talking about a lot of stuff on there. So anyway, go check it out. And if you already are, thank you again so much from the very hearts of our bottoms. We want to thank you. So there's that.
Excuse me?
Okay. Onward and upward.
A baking powder?
onward and upwards. This is episode number 2 of 10 in our Catherine Bigelow series. Let's talk about her 1987 film, Now Near Dark.
Well, I'll be goddamn. Shit kicked her heaven.
Hey, come on, Ted. Let's belly up to the bar and get us some fresh. Bartender, give me a couple of shots, whatever donkey pissed you're shoving down these cocksuckers' throats.
Hey! Hey! You spilled my drink.
Well, why don't you lick it up off the bar, meatball?
Why don't you lick it up yourself?
Hey, ever tell you the one about Buffalo Bill? Oh, hell, you're all right. Go on, give him another one.
Near Dark, directed by Catherine Bigelow, written by Catherine Bigelow and Eric Red. Eric Red is known for some other films, I'm going to say, in a similar genre. Also an 80s guy. He wrote The Hitcher, Blue Steel, Body Parts, Bad Moon. It was produced by Stephen Charles Jaffe. So he was responsible for films like Company Business and Strange Days. So he's a regular in Catherine Bigelow's filmography, The Fly 2. And it was produced and released by the De Laurentiis Group. So a bit more on that in just a second. The film stars Adrian Pasdar. I think that's how you say his name. I don't know the actor very well, but Adrian Pasdar, I'm going to say Jenny Wright, Lance Henriksen, Bill Paxton, Jeanette Goldstein, and Joshua John Miller. And you'll even get James LaGrosse in a small little appearance there later on in the film, too. And probably worth mentioning.
The Terminator and Aliens, right? But we're going to get to it.
Basically, yeah. And music, too. Tangerine Dream. It's always nice to see them show up involved with a film. Near Dark follows the story of a young man named Caleb, that's Pasdar, who encounters a group of nomadic vampires in rural Oklahoma. And Caleb falls for a girl, May, who's one of the vampires, and she bites Caleb, and he turns into a vampire, and then he reluctantly joins the group, and he struggles to adapt to his new undeadedness, I guess. So he's grappling with his humanity, he's grappling with being a vampire, and fitting into the group's violent and nomadic lifestyle. So he's becoming... Their lifestyle is becoming increasingly dangerous, but he still loves May. And this basically is the film, in essence. Behind the scenes on this, I don't necessarily have a whole lot, except that it was a De Laurentiis production. So De Laurentiis Group in 1985, they purchased Embassy Pictures, which allowed De Laurentiis, which had been a European company, it allowed them to distribute in North America. So there were a lot of De Laurentiis films at the time, and most of them were about $10 million budgets or less. And these budgets were largely pulled together from pre-sales to distributors in international jurisdictions. So worldwide, if you ever look them up on Box Office Mojo or anything like this, a lot of these De Laurentiis films, it would appear they had no box office results across the world. But this isn't necessarily true. It's just that independent distributors were making money off these titles in Europe and Australia and Asia and all these other jurisdictions. Raw Deal was one of these movies. We talked about this last September. Yeah. And this film, Near Dark, was its last. So it's sort of a small window. But anyway, Bigelow and Eric Red, they had begun working on a project because they wanted to make a Western, but they couldn't get any funding to pursue a Western because no one wanted to make Westerns in the 80s. So they decided to make a film, another film, sort of a modern gritty film, but make sure that it had a Western aesthetic. So De Laurentiis came on board for the financing. And when the production got underway, Bigelow was apparently on a really short leash. One of the producers, Edward Feldman, apparently had told her, "You're going to be replaced in 5 days if you show that you can't handle this." So anyway, she certainly survived the production. But yeah, apparently as it was only her second film, she was on a really short leash. Bigelow and Cameron were friends at the time, possibly even courting. I don't know. And Cameron had just wrapped Aliens. So he recommended to her using cast members from Aliens. So that's how Bill Paxton and Lance Henriksen, Jeanette Goldstein got involved. Michael Biehn was also offered, but he chose not to participate in Near Dark. And I sort of forget the reason why, but I think there was something with the script or the project that he didn't vibe with. I don't know if he didn't get it or didn't want to be part of it. I'm not 100% sure, but anyway, he didn't jump on board, and presumably this would have been for the role of Caleb in the lead. So Adrian Pasdar ended up getting this part. But also just in the casting call, DB Sweeney and Johnny Depp apparently auditioned for it. But as I say, it was Pasdar that got the role. Once Henriksen was cast to prep, I found this an interesting backstory. Henriksen, in order to get into character, he traveled across various states, just driving around, picking up hitchhikers in character. This included his wardrobe, hair extensions, long fake fingernails, and acting unhinged. So he'd pick up random hitchhikers, behave in character, and then later on, like miles down the road, when he dropped them off, he would explain that he was an actor. But anyway, I guess he terrified a number of poor people that were just trying to get from point A to point B. So Near Dark was released under DEG, as I mentioned, De Laurentiis Entertainment Group, just before it went bankrupt. So this was in October 87, after a small festival run, Near Dark was released. It had a very small North American release. It only made around $3.5 million in North America. But considering the budget was pre-sold, you know, it probably didn't lose money. It probably did okay on home video. It's just really hard to sort of dig into the finances on this just because of the business model. So it's probably fair to say it wasn't a flop, but at the same time, it didn't make too much money at the North American box office. So to some involved, it was a bit of a disappointment. It didn't make as much money as, say, some other studio films that had been coming out at the time. The Lost Boys in particular was released just 3 months earlier, and that film had quite a bit more marketing behind it and made quite a bit more money. So at any rate, Near Dark wasn't overly seen in theaters. Probably worth mentioning, and we'll get into it, Near Dark was released amidst a small wave of new vampire films that emerged in the 80s. So I mentioned The Lost Boys, Fright Night is in there. Life Force, Once Bitten, Salem's Lot. So vampire films are sort of surfacing. And isn't there's a Salem's Lot too, isn't there?
Was it Return to Salem's Lot?
I think so. Because Salem's Lot might be late 70s. But
Salem's Lot is 1979.
Right.
And it's technically a TV miniseries.
Right. So vampires are coming back into the public consciousness a little bit in the 80s, and Near Dark is part of that. Critics largely liked the film for its juggling of genre conventions, giving vampires a new look. Richard Corliss of Time magazine, he called Near Dark weird and beautiful, and he also said it's the all-time teenage vampire love story. Not sure about that. We'll get into it. Peter Travers, he was with Rolling Stone at the time. He concurred. He called it gory and gorgeous. So had a lot of supporters, and even still.
If you'd like to listen to this show in its entirety, head over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where for $3 a month you'll be able to hear many other bonus recordings of ours, such as tie-ins to our main show, mini retrospectives, and comprehensive director marathons. patreon.com/uncutgemspod is the place, so head over there and subscribe.